At BDC, we know being an entrepreneur means always being ready to take on challenges and seize opportunities. Get up to $100,000 with our small business loan to make your projects a reality. Simple, quick, and with no application fees, the BDC online loan offers you flexibility to protect your cash flow with favorable repayment terms. Apply now at bdc.ca/online loan. Certain conditions apply. BDC, financing, advising, know-how.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. Welcome to Cube. Grab your Furby and your Preston Manning sign. We are taking things back to 1998.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Hold it, now I'll watch a hoodwink.
Okay, that's a bit of 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies. Puts a smile on your face, takes you back to a time and place, that's for sure. That song is a special one for the band because it found them a kind of success that even they did not see coming. 1 week went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100. It landed on movie soundtracks for some of the biggest hits of the 90s, like American Pie and 10 Things I Hate About You. It was nominated for a Grammy, and it took Bare Naked Ladies from being a beloved Canadian band to being known around the world. Earlier this year, 1 week turned 25, and Tom got to speak about the song and the impact it had on the band with Ed Robertson from Bare Naked Ladies. Here's their conversation.
Ed, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here again.
So pleased to be back, Tom. You know, that song, number one in the United States of America, number one in the United Kingdom, number one in Germany, number one in Japan, number three in Canada.
Oh, no, really? Is that true?
I'm not bitter, though.
Listen, as long as you don't hate the Moffats for it, that's all that matters to me.
How could I hate the Moffats? Those are lovely young men.
What was going on with the band before 1 week? Like, where did the band, I don't mean like the history of the band, but like, where did you guys find yourself right before 1 week came out?
Well, things were really building in the United States. Our career had really waned at home in Canada. You know, there's a small pie and we had all the pieces in the early 90s and people were a little tired of us, understandably. So we were spending all of our time trying to grow something in America. Our single, The Old Apartment, the live version from Rock Spectac, was getting played all over the country, and it actually just cracked the top 40. It made it to number 40. So we actually got the Casey Kasem introduction, which we used as the intro for that song for about 2 years live.
Number 40. The first of our two debuts is by a Canadian band that goes by the name Bare Naked Ladies. But the members of the group aren't ladies at all. They're men, and they're fully clothed. Their song is called The Old Apartment.
Broke into the old apartment. This is where we used to live.
But we could feel it building. You know, I think we felt like the early success we had in Canada in the early 90s was somewhat of a dress rehearsal for what was about to happen in America.
Where did 1 week come from? I'm trying to, it's hard to imagine that song being written. Like, I think about something like, we were just talking about like Jack and Diane or, you know, even The Old Apartment. I can see you guys, maybe someone with a guitar in the corner playing guitar and just that one coming out. It's hard to imagine 1 week coming out of sitting down with a guitar in the corner. Like, where did that song come from?
Yeah, it was an idea that I'd been tinkering around with, and I had the chorus structure, and I quite liked it, this kind of anatomy and timeline of an argument between people who love each other, the sort of comedy of the roles you play over a long argument. That was the kind of genesis of it, and I wanted the verses to be this kind of rappy thing. And I kept trying to write stuff, and it was really crappy. And Steve Page said to me, why don't you just freestyle it? So I had a little Hi8 camcorder, and I put it on a tripod, and I stared at it and freestyled for about 4 or 5 minutes. And then I just edited my favorite lines out of this freestyle. So the song was written really in about 4 minutes.
Can I ask you about some of these lines? Like, okay, what about the big one? What about Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken?
That is a little play on a Busta Rhymes line from a Tribe Called Quest song, Scenario. Tyler and I were huge fans of the Tribe record, The Low End Theory. And in it, for no explicable reason, Busta says, Chickadee Choco, the chocolate chicken.
Chickadee Choco, the chocolate chicken. The rear got diesel, but cheeks, they were kicking. Yo, bust it out before the Busta, Busta, another round, the rhythm is in sync.
And I always just thought it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. And we were in the midst of a scary avian flu at the time, was raging in China. And so it became Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Again, it was freestyled, but that's where it came from.
Watching X-Files with no lights on, Redon LeMay's on. I hope the smoking man's in this one.
Yeah, so this was back in the day. We were massive X-Files fans, and we had actually, someone at the show found that out. She was a fan of the band, so she gave us a massive box of VHS tapes of the show. And we were touring like madmen at the time. We were like 18 months straight in the US. And every night we'd get on the bus and we'd put in and watch 3 or 4 episodes of The X-Files that she had dumped onto these VHS tapes for us. And the theme song does this. And Tyler and I would always look at each other and say, Dans la maison, la maison, la maison. Horrible French for, are you in the house? Like, you ready to watch some X-Files? Dans la maison, la maison, la maison. It was just like a stupid thing.
What about Hot Like Wasabi When I Bust Rhymes, Big Like Leanne Rhymes, Because I'm All About Value?
Okay, here's a funny thing. So I meant big, like popular,
yeah,
right? Leanne Rimes was a popular singer at the time.
Huge, huge.
And so there was that line. I thought she was super cute, and she sprung to mind while I was freestyling. Cut to 5 months later, we're playing an arena in Washington, D.C. with like Jessica Simpson and the Black Eyed Peas and all these like huge bands, and Leanne Rimes, who walks up to me in the dressing room and says, what do you mean big like Leanne Rimes? And of course she is this tiny, beautiful, you know, maybe she's from Tennessee or something, but she got right in my face. What do you mean big? And I was like, I meant popular. I'm a big fan of yours. And she was like, okay, I'm just checking because lots of people think I'm fat and I'm not.
At BDC, we know being an entrepreneur means always being ready to take on challenges and seize opportunities. Get up to $100,000 with our small business loan to make your projects a reality. Simple, quick, and with no application fees, the BDC online loan offers you flexibility to protect your cash flow with favorable repayment terms. Apply now at bdc.ca/online loan. Certain conditions apply. BDC. Financing. Advising. Know-how.
One of the best shows of the year, according to Apple, Amazon, and Time, is back for another round. This season, we're diving deep into some of McCartney's most beloved songs. Yesterday, Band on the Run, Hey Jude. And McCartney's favorite song in his entire catalogue. Here, there, and everywhere. Listen to Season 2 of McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, last one. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean. You soon will.
That is a very specific reference to the funeral of my older brother, actually. Oh, it was an awful day, and I didn't know how I was going to get through it. And he died in a motorcycle accident. And the last thing I wanted to hear was, when God closes a door, he opens a window. You know, I just thought, there's no good from this accident. He's gone. It sucks. And the guy stood up and he said, an untimely passing such as this one reminds me of the words of the rock group, the Lynyrd Skynyrd. If I leave here tomorrow,
no.
Will you still remember me? And I just cracked a huge smile, and I turned around and looked at Tyler in the pew behind me, and he just went, Skinner, and gave me the double rock and roll horn. And, you know, it turned my whole mood around, and I was laughing all of a sudden because Skinner got quoted at my brother's funeral.
Oh, I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Oh, that's beautiful. How did your life change after One Week came out?
It just confirmed how great I already thought I was. It was very affirming. It was an absolute whirlwind. We tried hard to keep our arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times as we rode that crazy fame roller coaster. You know, I said success in Canada was a bit of a dress rehearsal, but success in America and worldwide is another animal entirely. All of a sudden you're at the Grammys and nominated, and then you're hopping on to an overnight flight to go play in Japan because the single's number one there. And then you're going to New Zealand and Australia, and you're flying back to Germany. And it was really difficult to remain any kind of grounded and really in touch with home and who we actually were. You know, you're just in a different time zone, different country every day sometimes. And, you know, I've been trying to express, even on the new record, on In Flight, that, you know, sometimes all of your dreams coming true is kind of hard.
Yeah.
You want it, but you don't know what it is until you get it. You think it's going to be all glamour and all fun and all excitement, but the truth is, it is so much work. It's incredibly rewarding too, but it is a grind, man. Yeah. I don't think people can understand the toll it takes on you. And they'll, you know, they see artists, you know, I remember Mumford and Sons just made an announcement. We need a break. We have to take time off. They canceled a bunch of shows and people went, oh, poor babies. You know, sorry, you've had so many big hits. And, you know, there was like zero sympathy for them. And I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
I know what they're going through right now.
We've been asking people when they come on to set up a song to do their best version of the childhood radio DJ they grew up with. You know, like I think Bahamas did someone out of Hamilton that he grew up with. We had people doing like versions of, you know, hit radio stations in Winnipeg. Can you, now you can choose to not to, that's fine, but I know you and I think you will. Can you do your best, I guess, Scarborough, Toronto DJ that you grew up with and introduce Bare Naked Ladies in One Week?
Well, you're back with Tarzan Dan from the deepest, darkest heart of Scarborough. These are my pals, Bare Naked Ladies. You can see me currently on Tarzan Dan's hit list on YTV. You can hear me on about 40,000 radio stations. but I love this band. Here are my close personal friends, Ed, Steve, Tyler, who else is in the band? Jim, Kevin. This is their song, 1 Week. I'm Tarzan Dan.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I'll watch a hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. Summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss, I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Camper's got the mad hits, you try to match wits, you try to hold me but I bust through. Can I make a break and take a fake out like a sink and ache and shake out like vanilla? It's the finest of the flavors, gonna see the show cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go, cause it's so dangerous, you'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad?
That was 1 Week by Bare Naked Ladies. Before that, you heard Ed Robertson from the band talking to Tom about the song, about its 25th anniversary, and how fun to hear Ed explain the very tangible moments of inspiration behind those now famous lines. The Bare Naked Ladies also released a new album this year. It's called In Flight. It's out everywhere. And if you're already buying concert tickets for next year, 2024, the band is going to be performing at Meridian Center in St. Catharines on April 25th. You can get your tickets via Ticketmaster. That's it for this episode, but there is another one in your feed. It's Tom's conversation with Canadian illustrator John Clausen. And honestly, you might never look at kids quite the same way after you hear John talk about them on the show today. He talks about this thing that so many of us do where we see kids as in progress and we expect maybe that a kid's book has to teach them something, you know, help them grow into complete people. But what if we actually already see them as complete people? What if we trust them with stories, maybe even dark stories? It's a refreshing take and a very fun listen. You can find it in your feed now. I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power here on Q, and I'll see you next time.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.